Sue's going to read from Ephesians chapter 6.
I'm just reading from chapter 6 right through to the end, to verse 24. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment we promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long in the earth. And your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, of the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong of the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Titius, a beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Now, as you might have gathered, I'm doing the full armour of God this morning. And how this came about was that Sue suggested, she says, I think we should do the full armour of God again. And so I prayed about it and I felt, yeah, that's the right way to go. Then yesterday, on Facebook, of all places, somebody's liked a quote by somebody else. And it's a Nadine Wetz. I don't know who she is, but listen to this. Do not let us hang our armour in the closet. In the dark, gathering dust and serving as a home for the odd spider. Seems many of us need to read Ephesians 6 again. Then humility. Seek that the Lord's forgiveness for our lax attitude. And with great gratitude and thankfulness, get that armour up to scratch and wear it with pride and assurance of his mighty protection. And obviously I take that as confirmation that I'm preaching on the right thing. So I'm just going to read from Psalm 73 first. Psalm 73, 23 to 28. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Who have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Now, I'm sure you've all heard plenty of sermons on Ephesians 6, on the armour. So, I just hope I can maybe bring something new. But of course, the full armour of God is the picture of a Roman soldier with full armour on, with his long shield. But also it symbolises that we are in a battle. This battle is not physical. This battle is spiritual. And so this armour has to be spiritual armour. As Christians, you soon find, when you become a Christian, you soon find out you've plenty of friends everywhere. You go to different churches and different places. You're of the same mind, and you talk to people, you feel you've known them for a long time. But you also find that all of a sudden you can get a lot of enemies. If you stand on what the Bible teaches, you'll soon find yourself at odds with the world. A young girl once said to Charles Spurgeon, "How much of the world shall I give up now I'm a Christian?" He replied very wisely, "Don't worry, the world will give you up." Yes. So if you will, our battle is very hands-on. It's like we can't send a bomb to fight for us. We can't do anything like that. And when you listen to the news about boots on the ground when they're on about sending soldiers in, in a sense, that's what we are. We're the soldiers, the boots on the ground. But we don't have to rely on ourselves, do we? If we did, we would fall. But God has given us something precious. He's given us a full suit of armour. So let's have a look at verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And we need to learn to be strong in the Lord, to draw upon his strength. After all, he never promised to take us out of the battle, did he? He promised to give us strength to go through it, and the armour to go through it. The thing is, we need to look at this as a positive thing. In a world that is, well, it's declining really, isn't it, from our perspective. We need something that we can stand on. Something that will protect us. And I think when we get passages that are well known, it doesn't do any harm revisiting them. It just reminds us, you know, what we should be doing. So, verse 11, "Put on the whole armour of God." that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But notice what we're called to do, and that is to stand. Not to run, to stand. But you will find that word appear again in this passage. And the aim of a soldier was never to retreat. When Julius Caesar came to invade Britain, the troops landed on the beaches. The first thing they did was burn the boats. Now, from our perspective, you might think, well, that's a bit daft, isn't it? But no, they knew there was no going back. They had to face forward. They had to go forward. And of course, we first need to know who your enemy is. Our enemy is not physical people. It's not Joe Bloggs down the road. It's not somebody in another country. Our enemy is a spiritual enemy. It's the devil. More importantly, the wiles of the devil, the schemes that he does. And denying that we're at war is a very dangerous place. If you face up to it, you know what you can do. You can leave yourself vulnerable, but by knowing your enemy, you can face them with confidence. Knowing that God is our armour and shield. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Sounds quite frightening, but you don't need to be. You see, as I said, our struggle is not against men. It's against spiritual things. And Jesus can help us with that. Well, he's the only one who can. There was a British nurse in Africa. She was seized by a crocodile, pulled into the river. But with great presence of mind, a number of Africans jumped in and got hold of her other arm. And there was a chain. They hung on to the arm while the crocodile hung on to the other. Finally, the crocodile let go, got fed up. They pulled her back and she was alive and well. Satan is like that. But we have the strength in numbers. Strength of being together and praying for each other. That's where our strength comes from. But remember, he's intelligent, he's cunning, and he's driven. He knows our weaknesses. He knows mine, that's for sure. So he keeps having a prod at me, you know. Because he knows what could potentially pull me away. So therefore, verse 13, take up the whole armour of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and I've done all to stand. Remember, when we are translated from the dark to the light, in effect become a traitor to him. He wants you back. I'm sure we're all well aware that he's always trying to pull us back. And on our own we can't stand. So God has given us this armour that we can stand. It's not taking up part of the armour. It's just not worth it. You've got to take up the whole armour of God. It's the only way you can be protected. It's the only way you can feel safe. Now, those of you that have read Pilgrim's Progress, can't say it, but I can read it. I've read it. Remember this. When Pilgrim is fitted out with the armour, and he says, what's this for? They say, you're going to face an enemy, Apollyon. You must put this on, you need it. that you need it. The pilgrim has never ever worn armour before. Puts it all on, piece by piece. And very shortly afterwards he finds he's in the valley and he's fighting for his life. So verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So now we get to the armour itself. First piece of the armour is a belt. But you've got to remember, you've got to have this image of a Roman soldier. He's got a thick leather belt. Put wrong teeth in his forehead, hasn't he? He's got a thick leather belt around his waist. He's got his scabbard for his sword. But it does more than that, than just hold his sword. That belt grips him. It holds him together. His tunic is tucked in, and it's not flapping about. So when he's moving about, he's got freedom of movement, but he's not getting all claws flapping about and stuff in the wind. Paul is saying that the first thing we need to do is to be gripped by the truth. Held by the truth. So whatever happens in your walk, you are held by the truth that braces you for battle. Have you ever seen like weightlifters or these strongmen competitions? Anybody lifting a heavy object, what do? The first thing they do is they tighten the belt for support. They sort of girding the cell up ready for the strain ahead. But it's a truth that holds us together. No matter how great the pressure gets, or the strain, the truth of the gospel holds us together. Now the second piece is the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate, it covers your heart, protects you. We can imagine during battle that soldiers, quite often their hearts failed. I've never been in battle, but I'm pretty sure I wouldn't want to be there. But their morale. Oh dear me. Their morale will dip. But Paul is saying we need to keep our morale high. I'm still struggling to say it. Keep our hearts strong. The enemy will attack our hearts. He'll tell you that you're not worthy to be a Christian, that you're not worthy to fight. So the question is, how do we stand against that? Righteousness. And what is righteousness? In simple terms, it's right living. The breastplate of righteousness protects us by showing us that by living as God wants us to live, by keeping our moral standards high, your morale will not drop. Trying to fit in with the world is not what we're called to do. It's quite easy to fall into the trap of, you know, telling the odd white lie or swearing sometimes. But we're called to be separate from the world, separated from the world. We've got to live in it, which is the difficult part. But our standards are those of Jesus, not of Satan. Now I work in a factory environment in engineering. You can imagine the language is quite colourful, most of the time. I'm fortunate the people I work with are not too bad. But I don't swear. I don't join in with that. Sometimes, I hold my hand up. Sometimes I do come out with comments I shouldn't do. So I'm not perfect. But I don't swear. And it has been noticed. People notice things. So you've got to, by the standards you set, people notice. And they notice you're different. And that is what makes you stand out. You're separated from the world. 15. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's a lot of discussion over exactly what this can actually mean. But I'll give you what I think. Now, the rest of the armour is all about protection. It's all about standing firm. So, it goes to make sense that these are the same. So, having shod your feet, you have something to do with standing strong. And in doing so, you reflect in that the gospel of peace. Roman soldiers' shoes were a bit special. They had studs in on the bottom. So if the enemy tried to push them, their feet was in the ground, they had good traction. Very difficult to push back. Now, the gospel of peace is not about war, it's about peace. It's about showing other people God's love, showing how Jesus would want you to react. And there's an example, I think it's a true story, of a Japanese Christian who was thrown out of college as a student because he was a Christian. Just that simple fact, he got thrown out. The professors had him before them and said, "We do not want you in our college. Go." But he remembered that he had his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He went up to the professors. He kissed them in love. He didn't fight them. He didn't resent them. He didn't give back what they'd given to him. He just kissed them goodbye. In love. Don't lower yourself to their level. Keep yourself in love. And that would have made more impact in peace than any reaction that he would have given. Sixteen, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, shields come in handy if somebody's throwing something at you, won't they? You see it on the telly with the police, and they've got these shields and everything. The Romans had two shields. They had one for attacking, a round one. And for defence, they had the long one, which was made out of soft wood. They had short spears or arrows, which they soaked in pitch and then set alight. And this is what the fiery darts that are coming in. I suppose today's equivalent might be a petrol bomb or something like that. But this one covered the whole body. And as the arrow hit the shield would grip it because it's soft wood. And it would put it out. So the shield is faith. Faith which we have, faith which grows. It's your faith that acts as the shield, that quenches the darts of the devil, of the enemy. I remember as a young Christian, the Lord showing me about this shield. The arrows, you will feel the impact. They're there. But the shield will protect you. You still feel the impact of what he's firing at you, but the shield will protect you and enable you to carry on. 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet protects your head. It's your thoughts, your beliefs, your doctrine, your understanding of God. The enemy can get in and twist it. You can get lost in theology and philosophy and all the things that the world will throw at us. But by focusing on salvation, you'll keep your eyes on the truth and on the goal. If your thoughts are centered on salvation, the enemy cannot attack you because there's no room for anything else. Now the last piece of armour. It changes at this point from defence to attack. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword pictured here is you will have seen them, the short Roman sword, and they're quite broad and they've got a groove down the middle. Very useful when you're attacking someone. It's not saying we should carry a sword around with us. Those that live by the sword die by the sword. But what he's saying is that the word of God tells us that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The sword of the Spirit is your tongue. I know the tongue can be blamed for a lot. You know, was it Timothy? About it being a little rudder and it can take us off track. But here, it can be effective. Words that speak into a situation with power. Sometimes people can get mixed up and they sort of throw the Bible at them. No, it's the words within it that count. Words given to you by the Spirit at the right place at the right time. Remember Jesus in the wilderness when he was tempted by the devil? He didn't attack Satan. He used words, but not any words. He used the words of Scripture. But in all this, the effect is Paul is telling us to put on Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is our salvation. Keep focused on Jesus. There's trouble with technology is when you touch the wrong thing, everything goes haywire, doesn't it? So you keep focusing on Jesus. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, how do we watch for the enemy? With our eyes open? So if you do that, you'll miss him. He's a spiritual being. We watch with our eyes shut, which might sound a little daft. But when you're praying, that is when you're watching out for him. But it says, pray at all times. It's a bit impractical in a sense, isn't it? Because, you know, you've got to go about your business. You've got to sleep. You've got to work. Go about your shopping. At Christmas, you'll be doing a lot of that, I presume. So, how can we pray at all times? In the spirit as well, remember, not in the flesh. But God, Jesus is a practical God. Maybe he's saying you should pray before you go about your business. You can imagine a surgeon in an operating theatre. You're on the table, right? That surgeon goes into a corner, prays. He's asking God to be with him during the operation. Another surgeon doesn't pray. He's doing it under his own strength. Now, which one would you want? I know which one I'd want. So, praying in the Spirit is when you pray beforehand. You know, say you're going, and it's something as simple as work. You're going to do a job. Pray before you go. You're taking Jesus with you. Don't get there, get into trouble, and then start praying. That's praying in the flesh. Take him with you. Take him in the spirit. Being watchful. Well, of course, as I mentioned, you do it with your eyes shut in prayer. Pray that you might have strength to fight against the enemy. But also pray for each other. We should always pray for each other. Because that boosts up their defences. In the Lord's Prayer, the modern version, it says, protect us from evil. But the actual words, Jesus' words, is protect us from the evil one. I always add that in. So it's not just evil, but it's protect us from the evil one. In verse 19, and for me the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul's asking for prayer. And if Paul needs prayer, don't you think we need prayer? You know, we look at the great people of history, of the gospel. They all needed prayer. And so do we. He's asking for the strength to boldly speak about the gospel. And we should do the same. As Paul says, I ought to speak. But shouldn't we also? In verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I might speak boldly, as I ought to speak. Suppose the temptation, you're in prison, in chains, just keep your mouth shut. And it, you know, you think, oh, I'm not going to get any more trouble. But Paul's not saying that, he's saying, I want the boldness to carry on preaching, carry on speaking. So in conclusion, the full armour of God is something that we need to put on every day. Don't leave it hanging in the closet. We need to put on Jesus. Focus on Jesus and the way he wants us to live. Remember, we're called to stand against the wiles of the devil if we put on the armour by living a Christian life. We don't have anything to fear. Need to be wary, but nothing to fear. Jesus is our armour, and as such, we are more than a match for Satan. We must put on the full armour, and don't leave any gaps. We don't attack with physical force. We attack with the words of Jesus, of God. A lot more effective. Those words have power. This is why they should not be altered or watered down in any way. It loses power then. The Bible, the enemy knows the Bible, and so should we. And in that sense, so we can't be deceived. But remember to pray in the Spirit before the act, not once you've hit the problem. He'll still come and help you, but pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And remember, we must be watchful at all times. We do this with our eyes shut in prayer and not open. Well, thank you for listening. I hope, I know like new Christians obviously maybe get a lot more out of that than some of the older ones, but I just thought we all got something there. Yes. I must admit, over the years, we started off, you put the armour of God on every day, and then you start missing the odd day, and then you start forgetting altogether. Get it on every day. Your Christian walk is your armour. This word is your shield. Your faith that you get from here is important.